Hey everyone, welcome to Smash Trivia. I'm your host, Smash Trivia John. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Instagram by searching Smash Trivia to follow everything happening with me. I'll be the one with the little green head in the profile pictures. I'm so excited to get into this. This is the Gamma Analysis. Basically, in this series, I'm going to review everything Hulk, all the movies and TV shows. I hope you enjoy Smash Trivia Presents the Gamma Analysis. I want to ask everyone listening if they could please do sign for me. Please share the hell out of this podcast with all your friends. For this episode, I'm finally reviewing She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, Episode 1. And I'd like to take a moment to say a Smash Trivia now has a Patreon, so please check that out. We have some fantastic extra content on there I bet you'll love. Of the tiers are as follows. $1 a month is Hulkahala for a dollar. And then $3 a month is the Reading Room with Hulky and Shulky. $5 a month is Smashing the TV. And $10 a month is Bruce's Bar Trivia and One Night Smashes. Our co-host today is Keith, a.k.a. Keith Sketches, a.k.a. Film Career with a K. As always, how are you doing, Keith?
I'm doing great, John. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great as well. I'm celebrating tonight with the release of She-Hulk. I got a ice cream float with me at my desk. it's not root beer. I'm trying to eyeing different this time. It's cream soda.
For a second I thought with the green themes you were going to tell me that it was Mountain Dew. I was very scared for your health and your
I did have a Mountain Dew earlier today, but I'm not mixing that with ice cream.
Good call. You'd have to mix it with like mint chocolate chip or like pistachio, and yeah, I feel like probably. Both of those would not go with the lemon lime that is so sublime.
Probably not. And we're also gonna possibly later on have some other guest people coming on of Rob from the Weekly Meet and Callie, someone who's also been on the Weekly Meet, but they will not be on the same recording as with Keith. So, it may not happen. So I'm not gonna tell you it's a sure thing, but I'm very hopeful that later tonight I can get that set up. All right. And
heck yes,
I have a trivia question for you, Keith.
All right. Hit me.
When She-Hulk joined the Fantastic Four in the comics, which character did she replace in the roster?
My best guess, which would just make sense as far as team dynamics, would be that she replaced the Thing.
Okay.
So fingers crossed that she became the new powerhouse of the Fantastic Four for a short time. That would make most sense to me.
Okay.
Yeah, you're gonna have two strong ones and lose the ability of like supernova fire and extra stretchy smartness. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll give the answer to that later in the episode. And for our Hulkahala for a dollar, we have both Film Critter, and we have a new patron and who came on this week, that is Derek Sager. And
hi,
I've
Derek.
Already heard some heard that he is really enjoying the content. So
nice.
Thank you, Derek.
That's awesome.
All right. And before we get into this, I have a few other things I want to do. So first, I highly recommend watching the episode before you listen to this podcast as I will be spoiling the hell out of this episode.
Yeah.
And then the podcast I want to shout out this week is That Superhero Thing podcast. As in the lead up to She-Hulk, they did aid reviews of the 70s Hulk pilot, the 2003 Hulk, and the 2008 Hulk. They are all fantastic reviews, and they took some great thoughts from listeners for those episodes. So, definitely, I want to check them out, and also they are doing weekly She-Hulk reviews, just like I am. So you're gonna want to check out their She-Hulk reviews. And real quick, I wanna play a quote from Stan Lee, which I think is very important as in line with the values of this podcast.
Hi, heroes! This is Stan Lee coming at you. Want you to know. Marvel has always been and always will be a reflection of the world right outside our window. That world may change and evolve, but the one thing that will never change is the way we tell our stories of heroism. Those stories have room for everyone, regardless of their race, gender, religion, or color of their skin. The only things we don't have room for are hatred, intolerance, and bigotry. That man next to you, he's your brother. That woman over there, she's your sister. And that kid walking by, hey, who knows? He may have the proportionate strength of a spider. We're all part of one big family, the human family, and we all come together in the body of Marvel. And you, you're part of that family. You're part of the Marvel universe that moves ever upward and onward to greater glory. In other words, Excelsior.
All right. And awesome. I want to say, Aid, that this podcast, as we have the same values of that, and that we are not going to tolerate in this podcast any misogyny, sexism, racism, bigotry, of any kind, any homophobic things. And we refuse to tolerate that. And I will be honest here. I think you are fucking evil if you think these things.
There you go. Blunt and to the point. I like it.
All right. And and also, one really cool thing happened to me last night. So She-Hulk, Jennifer Walters herself, of Tatiana Maslany, actually responded to a question of mine on Twitter in a video, and that made me insanely happy now. It was this Q&A post that Marvel put out, and I asked if she would be interested in doing a Hulk Cousins holiday special. And she said, yeah, I would. And she particularly said how she really wants to see how their tree looks and how big of a tree they would have. and then also, she was doing these fun little things with these videos where there was this thing, she was breaking the fourth wall she would turn to the side off camera where there's another camera on her, and she would say something funny with it. And for the video where she answered my question, she said, "And I never want to work with Mark Ruffalo again."
Yeah, he seems intolerable. Really.
Yeah.
Such a sweet bastard.
That made me really happy that I have a sign that I said was read out and responded to by She-Hulk herself.
Yes.
That's so cool.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Woo. All right. So, let's get into this review. So this episode is titled A Normal Amount of Rage. So this episode, it starts off as Jennifer Walters is about to go into a court case, and she's practicing her closing statement. This annoying guy that she works with, Dennis, thinks that he should get to do the statement, but Nikki, Jen's best friend, and tells him that she can kill him and get away with it. I really liked her saying that. Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and he's like, as she's practicing, he's like, smile more, and things like that. I'm like, come on, you're already doing the worst fucking thing you could start out. But yeah, but apparently that dude.
But
like
also, though, Dennis Bukowski. How is smiling more or gonna help you in court? Like if anything, the judge and the jury, if you just start going, it is going to freak everybody out. That is not smart to do.
Well, he's diminishing her
I
dramatic
know, I know.
gravitas, right? Like he thinks, oh, all she can do as a female lawyer is if she just smiles more and leans into her looks. It's like, shut up, shut the fuck up, Dennis. But
The guy is such an asshole, and I'm very hopeful that in future episodes, maybe she won't work with him anymore.
Well, that guy, Dennis Bukowski, I guess is his name. Is apparently a character in the comics and apparently a possible like maybe third tier villain going forward. Whether
Interesting.
or not they even broach that, I would be
Well,
surprised, but who knows? Maybe.
honestly, I think if that is the case, then I think there's a good chance. Because even if they don't do it this season, they'll probably do it in a future season of the show, which I think there's a good chance the show is going to get multiple seasons. I think
That would be great.
out of all the shows on Disney Plus, I think this is one of the ones that has the most chance of it because, unlike the other shows, this one feels like a TV show.
Yes, I would agree. The genre that they're going for is very much a law drama slash comedy, and they are very much that's unlike a lot of the other shows. Those shows have the drama part down, but so do film. They're not really a genre television. I mean, other than Wanda, but Vision, WandaVision was a genre show for a reason of like poking fun at and poking holes in a genre type sitcom. But
Mainly what I'm saying is like it doesn't it unlike the other shows where it feels like it's a 6-hour film, each though I haven't seen any of
episodic.
the other episodes of this, it's yes, it's episode it feels like it's episodes. It doesn't feel like you're only getting part of a story.
I agree. I agree. I feel like they're going to be more well-rounded each episode, and they're going to have a clear start and finish. There might be some arcs. Obviously, Jennifer's arc for the whole season makes sense, but they're going to probably feel like more self-contained than the typical Marvel
And
show we've been getting.
also, there's also, though I won't mention her to the end, 'cause since she doesn't appear till the end, but there is a character who appears at the end of the episode that from the trailers we know is coming back.
Yeah, I
Like it's
need to know
not
more about
something,
that
not
character.
a character. Not like she beats the character up and they just go away forever.
Well, she wouldn't be, in my opinion, second name in the credits if
Yeah.
that wasn't the case. You know, like why is she there for 3 seconds and then gone?
Though
Yeah.
from what I've heard from the heard from the critics who got to see the first four episodes, she is barely in the first four episodes,
Okay.
so I'm guessing that means that her story really ramps up in the fifth episode.
She's a bit of a slow burn, which is totally fine because I expect to see probably Wong and Blonsky in the next couple episodes first before we return to some of these new characters. Because that's what they're doing. I truly believe that they're, you know, why wouldn't you put your most relatable or recognizable characters at the forefront while you develop the character that's brand new to us, and then see if they can stand on their own legs later on. And I imagine she will.
And this character we're talking about is someone who is in the comics. Her and She-Hulk, they have a long running
Rivalry?
rivalry where
Yes.
where like and it's a very fun rivalry in a way where because like there are moments in the comics where like both of them have had like some like rough things happen in their lives, and they both make a mutual agreement that they're like, us fighting each other, it's not just to beat the other person up, it's we need to get that stress out of our system.
That's awesome. What is the character's name? I know Jamila Jamil or whatever plays her.
It's Titania.
Titania. That is a ridiculous name. I am very
Yeah,
excited.
which there's a lot of people who are getting are making them making a mistake between in the name Titania and the actress who plays She-Hulk,
Tatiana.
Tatiana, and which is weird to me because I have ne all the time I've known about these two characters is I've never really made mistake those names. It could be because it would be because like I've known the name Tatiana since I was a kid, as there was as when I was a kid there was a girl that girl that I had a crush on that on named Tatiana. But I don't know.
Well, there you go.
But
You're much
I'm
more,
guessing that's
and I'm
I'm
sure there's
guessing
another one
that's the
now.
reason why I'm oh yeah, there's definitely another now. But I'm guessing that's maybe the reason why it's easier for me to not mistake the names, because I know the name of Tatiana quite well.
Yeah.
So we find out that she was handpicked to go up against and a firm called GLK and H, and this is something that I feel like will be a plot point that's picked up in later episodes, as in the trailers it does show that that she gets hired by GLK and H, which I'm wondering if there's some shady stuff happening behind the scenes of the fact that they particularly before hiring her wanted her to be on this case, since they said particularly she was handpicked to be on this case to fight them. I don't know. But I feel
Interesting.
like there's something to that.
Oh, definitely.
I think this episode plants a lot of seeds for stuff going forward. And Nikki says that if it doesn't go our way, you can just Hulk out and blow everyone's minds. And I've really got like, I already love everything from Nikki. She's gonna be a great best friend character in the show.
Yeah. No, I did. I feel like I didn't get enough of the character yet, but I did like the two scenes, the two big scenes front, like bookending the episode. It makes me
Yeah,
excited for more of her character.
I think part of why I'm already really enjoying your character is so the actress who plays her, whose name's Ginger, or she is on Twitter, and she's actually a someone who interacts very oftenly with the She-Hulk community,
Nice.
and I've and there have been a few times where I've actually had some tweet conversations with her on Twitter. So it's kind of cool.
Nice. That's awesome, man. Damn.
I think that's probably part of why I've already grown
You're
attached to this character.
already a fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So Nikki leaves the room, and Jen then breaks the fourth wall to tell us how she's a Hulk. And she's gonna tell us how that happened. She starts explaining that a few months ago, her and her cousin Bruce, yes, that Bruce, we're on a road trip. In the car, our Bruce explains how he made a device on his wrist that can makes it so he can turn back into Bruce to heal his arm, which is something that people were wondering a lot about at the end of Shang-Chi.
Yes, which it was confusing to me because so he found that his arm wasn't healing in like Professor Hulk mode, and then it started healing the first time he
So
tried this device.
I
Like
think
it sounded like that in the car.
how I'm guessing it's supposed to be is that a though I don't know how this makes sense, but what I'm guessing they're going for is that somehow that injury a made it so his healing factor as Hulk was damaged, making it so he couldn't heal in Hulk form, and thus he had to be in human form to be able to continue healing.
Yeah, because it's like a one time only kind of you get the Infinity Stones and you snap your
Yeah.
fingers. That's supposed to kill you, unless
Oh yeah.
you're of God or Titan like stature. Which I mean, it fucked up
Yeah.
Thanos' arm, which we saw right before he
Oh
was
yeah.
beheaded. Unfortunately, so we didn't get
Definitely.
to see how Thanos never healed. But his arm wasn't in a sling though, so
Yeah.
maybe he's a little stronger than Hulky. But
so yeah,
we already knew that.
Yeah. So let's see. So Jen starts talking about first Bruce asks about this genius idea that Jen has to use chopsticks with Cheetos. And Jen says that he's not the only genius in the family. And then Bruce mentions a mysterious family member named Ched. I'm very interested who this Ched character is because he's not from the comics.
I looked it up. I was looking for like Chet Banner, Chet anybody, Chet Marvel Comics, and nothing came up. Yeah. I was like, what? Who?
Like,
what
literally, that? The only thing that comes up is somehow they, how the early, whoever is admins on the MCU wiki, they really quickly went and made sure that make an article about him. Him on the MCU wiki, even though there's nothing to know about him. That was funny earlier when I was looking it up. I was like, wow, that was quick that there was an article about them.
Well, people want their clicks.
Yep.
Really badly.
So Jen starts talking about this theory of hers about Steve Rogers being a virgin. And as she's distracted by this, a Sakaarian ship arrives in front of them, causing them to swerve off-road, and the car crashes. As Jen and tries to get out of the car to go help Bruce, she accidentally stabs herself on the car.
Yeah.
And as she tries to get Bruce out, Bruce is telling her to get away, he's bleeding. Yeah. But it's no use. As he's telling her this, the blood drips into her wound. This starts causing her arms to get having green veins, and then she turns into a Hulk and she runs away.
I like that we saw just the reflection of her turning into the Hulk at that first moment in the reflection of the car accidents. Not a huge, callback to the original Hulk series, but I really like the way that was, we're seeing not only the Mark Ruffalo for the first time in a long time turning, like, looking at the camera and yelling and turning into.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, I've missed that whole transformation thing.
I do wish they showed us the entire transformation there.
Yeah. But he turned into Smart Hulk or Smug Hulk.
Actually.
And...
I'm thinking there might be something to it. I don't remember if it was on Twitter or if it was on the She-Hulk Discord that I'm in, but someone had a theory that there's, we didn't see him transform. What if in that moment there was something different about his transformation? And that's going to be revealed as the series goes on, maybe, which would be really cool.
I would like a bit more of an explanation too. Like, if there was more to the fact that he couldn't make this device for, like, he really shut down that idea, making the device.
Also, it seemed like there was something about at the device that that had to do with the blood turning and doing something with Jen, because he particularly mentioned the device, and the camera was particularly angled at the device as they showed the blood drip on the Jen, which makes me wonder if there is something with that device.
I mean, who knows, maybe this I'm spitballing here and coming up with my own theories, but what if the device what if the alter ego of Hulk is kind of breaking through after he started using this device, and now he's too wary, you know, like maybe it's like that's his path back to the raging Hulk scenario.
I think there's a very good chance of that, which as we go through this review, there are multiple times that I think there was a bit of inkling of the Savage Hulk coming to the surface.
I want to talk about that too. I 100% know what you're talking about. I agree.
But yeah, there's multiple moments I think in the episode where that happens. Jen wakes up later that night, a mess, and she heads to a nearby bar. She heads into the bathroom to clean up, and a bunch of ladies come in and insist on helping her clean up. and they give her phone to call her husband, her cousin. And but then as she waits for Bruce to come pick her up, these assholes come out and start harassing her. She gets angry and hulks out, roaring at them. And then Hulk grabs her and it cuts to black.
Tackled, side tackled.
All right. So, Jen wakes up in Bruce's house, of which whom she doesn't recognize it as it. She's obviously never been there. But there's some clothes kindly laid out for her, including a Led Zeppelin shirt. Which I wonder if that means that Hulk is a fan of Led Zeppelin.
At the very least, maybe he just knew that she's a fan. I don't know. Either way, not a bad band to be a fan of. A
Oh
great
yeah,
bunch.
definitely. Then she opens the door, looking around, and she's saying hello repeatedly because she's trying to find out where she is. And she sees this tropical bar area, and then one of Tony's busted up helmets. And as she walks up to it, I don't know if you noticed this, Keith, but we hear the Avengers theme going.
I did hear when she walked up to the Tony's helmet. Yes, I did hear that. Only in my second viewing, I was very
Yeah.
much whipping around the
That's.
room with my eyes the first time, but I didn't even notice the Tony helmet the first time I
Oh
watched.
yeah, I didn't
It was
either.
like 3:30 in the morning, but
Yeah,
my
it was
second
like
viewing, I was
early in
like,
the
oh,
morning for me too. Yeah,
yeah.
I did not notice it at all that time, and I didn't notice the music either. But I noticed the second time I'm in. It's really cool to me because that's because, and there's a lot of moments I think like this in the episode where it's allowing Bruce to grieve his best friend's death. I kind of feel with this with them having that having and ways to honor his best friend who died, since he didn't really get to have that much what's it he didn't really get to have that much time spent on him and how he felt about that death.
No, absolutely not. This is the first time we've seen him talk about a lot of things
Yeah.
since Endgame that we, you know, it's just nice to be seeing him get these moments to act out and talk about his friends.
And
And
get to and really get to be human, I think.
Yeah.
Which is honestly, I feel
That's
like
true.
that a little bit of a problem on the MCU has had that a lot of characters you don't really get to know anything about their lives, and that and this is finally giving us some of his life. She starts hearing music coming from downstairs, and so she follows the sound to Bruce's lab. And upon seeing Bruce, Jen asks, "You're Hulk again?" And Bruce says, "Smart Hulk. I didn't come up with it. You never really have a choice with these names."
Yeah, I mean, he's warning her ahead of
Yeah.
time before she gets called She-Hulk for the first time.
Oh yeah.
Because she's going to hate that, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. Though I do hope with just like with the comic, I hope she makes it her own. Like listen, like when we were doing that first She-Hulk comic book, how she said, and if you like, I think it was like if you want me to be a monster, then that's what I'm gonna be, and I'm taking charge of it. It's not you. It's not your word to insult me anymore. It's my word to empower myself. I love that ad idea. Bruce tell. Oh, okay. Jen asks, "Where are we?" He says, "Mexico." And Bruce tells her that this is where he spent the blip. Integrating Aang, Hulk, and Banner's personalities. And he says that Tony built it for him a few years ago.
and he always said it was a loner, and he might be back to take it back for himself. But it's a sweet little aside that he has, and he looks off into the distance and says that and smiles.
Yeah,
I like that.
I think at this point in his life, he would not have minded. If Tony were to come back and take it from him, just because that means that Tony's coming back to back.
Yeah.
So Jen asked about the spaceship that they saw earlier. Hulk says it's from Sakaar. They're probably trying to send a message that he's got to get to the bottom of that. But we don't really get anything more about that in this episode, which we probably won't get more from that for most of the rest of the season, as I don't think that Hulk is in every episode of the season, and they don't want to focus the season on Hulk because it's not his show.
Yeah.
But but that's definitely teasing some stuff for the future.
I wouldn't be surprised if we never see a response to that at all. In this series anyways, and that's just planted for us to have a future Hulk story, which would be great.
So he says, but first we got to deal with you. And then Jen asks, what happened to me? I changed. Agent Bruce says, I'm sorry. After the wreck, my blood got into your system and it gave you a lethal dose of gamma radiation.
A lethal dose?
Does that mean I'm gonna die? And Bruce is, no, there's more to it. That's going to explain. Ted gets annoyed that's not the sentence you should take a pause on, Bruce. I found that scene hilarious.
We see a very scared, like, anytime, like, I mean, the very little bit of time that we've had to spend or been able to spend with Smart Hulk or Professor Hulk or whatever you want to call him, it's been a long while since, and to see more comedy from him, because honestly we had a lot of comedy from him in Endgame, but it was just not, he wasn't the focus of that show or that movie, obviously. So we're getting a lot more of the same, and it shows how naturalistic Ruffalo is now in the mocap, and the some of the lines he comes out with are so relaxed and so believable, and it just seems very got him in the. It's just more proof to the fact that Hulk is in the right hands this time around.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think though there have been a lot of Hulk fans that have complained they don't think the MCU has handled Hulk well. I think with this series and what they have planned for the Hulk in the future, that sentiment is going to change. I think that sentiment is very much going to change.
Yeah.
I think it's already starting to change with this series. Because of one thing that they canonized in this series that has been a long thing that I think a lot of Hulk fans have wanted them to bring up that they never brought up in the MCU, which I'll be mentioning that later.
Yeah,
later fair. On. Yeah. Bruce explains that there's a combo of genetic factors that allow us to synthesize the gamma into something else. Jen says, so I turn into a Hulk too now. And Bruce explains that he's been analyzing her blood and he was able to use it to fix his arm. And Jen says, so I'm better than you. And Bruce is like, basically different.
But in a better way.
And then Bruce says that it's allowed him to be his fully integrated self again, and Jed says, smug Hulk.
Bruce smart says, Hulk.
Yep. And Jed says, well, it's pretty smug to call yourself smart. You use it in High's endorsement, and Bruce says, don't lawyer me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Bruce puts the rest of her blood samples in a disintegrator. And Jen says that that's a bit dramatic. Bruce tells her how dangerous their blood is, which I think Bruce is definitely not being dramatic because it really could be very bad if the wrong person got their hold of it.
Well, just think like how quickly and how seamlessly she became so much more powerful than like a 5 foot lawyer who, you know, weighs 130 pounds soaking wet. Like she is now able to throw boulders, and if his blood got on the wrong person and enough of it,
Well, yeah.
yeah, it's they're screwed.
Well, we know exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened with Blonsky, though. Yes, Blonsky had a bit of something else in him already, but
Yeah.
still, that was Bruce's blood that got onto got into him that he that was the final thing that turned him into Abomination. And I feel like this was that's kind of what Bruce was referencing here, if he's of what he's scared of
Yeah.
of something like that happening again.
Yeah, and they and you know, Edward Norton Hulk was terrified of his blood getting in the wrong hands even before Blonsky. So, and I'm very interested. I hope that they do bring that stuff up when Blonsky comes into the show, which I hope is episode two.
I really I'm so hopeful that we get some stuff with Hulk and Blonsky, and not just She-Hulk and Blonsky,
That would be
because I
interesting
need
to blend those two again. Would be cool.
what I'm particularly hoping for is that a Hulk or Bruce sees Blonsky, and Blonsky actually reveals to him the fact that he most likely is trying to manipulate Jen, which I could honestly see something like that out of him telling Bruce that he is manipulating Jen. I could see that making Bruce angry enough that it would turn him back into Savage Hulk.
Oh, maybe.
Because, like in the comics, there's a great comic panel where Bruce or Hulk is talking about his cousin, and he's talking about how she is one like her becoming a Hulk gave him and kind of like something to fight for, and like and. If something were to happen to her, he said as in this comic, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
Like she's the only family he has left, and if someone did sign to her, it would be he's going to go off the deep end.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that it'll be Blonsky, because at the same
I'm not
time,
sure either. I'm just saying, I think
I'd be
I could
interested to
see that
see what
happening.
happens. My wonder is, because I don't know. If that is the case, I don't think it'll push the character of Blonsky in back into a negative or back into a full villain, because he now has like the vouch of of Wong. Wong can kind of vouch for him, and that's a sturdy, strong-willed
Yeah,
vouch, in my
definitely.
opinion. So I don't know. I mean, like, if I mean Wong hasn't necessarily signed off on him being, rehabilitated or anything, but it's
Oh yeah.
you'd think it was maybe in the making right now.
Definitely.
But anyways.
Jen tells him to fix her right now, and Bruce tells her that this isn't going away. He tells her the best he can do is spend some time in the lab and hopefully merge her two halves. Jen says that has how she just got her own office and business cards. And Bruce again says there's no going back. And he and but then he notices there's something wrong with her. He tells her, "What do you need?" He asks her, "What do you need?" What and she and then it cuts to them where she's eating pancakes that he's making her.
Well, she's in mid
She's
panic
just.
attack. She's like, pan, and then cut, and it's pancakes. It's the perfect anxiety treat.
Oh yeah.
I'm glad he cooked for her at least.
Yeah. And it looks like Hoff's not a bad cook.
No, those look like perfectly round silver dollar pancakes.
Oh yeah.
Excellent. Flapjacks.
And so let's see. Bruce tells her that you can't go back to your life or your work, and you gotta stay here until you can control your Hulk self. Jen asks how long that's gonna take, and Bruce says, Bruce puts this giant binder down on the table saying, "This is a multi-year journey." And he says how he traced all the steps of his evolution. Hopefully, with my help, your progress will go a little bit faster than mine. Jen asks, multi-year? And Bruce says, about 15 years or so.
And I was thinking too, I was like, okay, the MCU's been around about 10 years as it is, plus the five blip. Holy crap. He's right.
So that would 15 years would be from 2023 would have been 2008 when the Incredible Hulk film came out.
Right.
But the at least according to I think the official timeline, Ian, that wasn't that actually happened like 2010. So he so that was like 2 years after he turned into Hulk. So but yeah. I thought
Fair.
that was cool how they did have like the exact number of years since it was since that film came out.
I guess so. I guess it wasn't the blip. I was thinking it was the 5 year blip.
Well, yeah, with the that's
But
with the 5 year
he kind of
since.
tamed him before that though. So he kind of like,
Yep.
at the very least he turned into Professor Hulk before that point. Before their point now. Anyways.
Well, yeah,
Kind
that
of a funny
actually
thing.
would be so he does mention a little bit later how he had another guy to wrestle with for 10 years, which since Infinity War happened in 2018, that was 10 years after the after 2008. So that all fits along on right.
Yep, that makes sense.
Oh yeah. The next accident was said this annoys Jen, and so she shouts back, 15 years. And Bruce tells her that their top priority is controlling when she turns. He puts her in a glass room and tells her that he needs to know the exact threshold of that you change at. And Jen suggests putting on Inside Out in a scene involving Bing Bong.
And Bruce goes, "No, Bing Bong, no." Oh, it was so fun. I love that moment so bad, so
It's
much
so
because
good.
I felt the same way about the Bing Bong scene. But he
Oh
was so
man,
hurt.
it's
No,
yeah.
oh, Bing Bong.
I gotta
That's
focus.
so funny. I just liked his acting in that.
So good, yeah. He says triggers are anger and fear, and Jen responds that those are like the baseline for any woman existing. That Bruce says, "All right, let's try this." And he pushes a button. Razors pop out of the wall behind Jen, and they start getting closer. Jen starts to freak out, and she asks, "Is there a plan B? And if I don't change?" Bruce starts laughing and says, "No."
No.
Jen says, "This isn't funny. And what do you normally use this chamber for, you psychopath?" Which I think I'm on the same page as Jen. I want to
True.
know what this chamber is supposed to be used
How
for.
quickly did he create this saw blade wall, and what was the chamber for before that, and how long ago has the saw blade wall been installed? Yeah, very good question. But it cost $1 million or 10. I can't remember what he said.
As Jed's let's see, actually
He's laughing at her, and she changes, bends
yeah
two of the
so
saw blades, and
Jen
pushes the
yeah
whole wall
yeah
back.
she changes, and as she's breaking it, Bruce says, "Yes, yes." She then turns her attention to the door as Bruce goes, "No, no!" She breaks it off, throwing it into the wall. And then Bruce Oost walks in front of her saying, "Easy, girl, easy." Jen says, why are you talking to me like I'm a stray horse? I found that hilarious.
Oh, that was a good one. And then it got so quickly undercut by him going, "Jen, you're in there? Oh my god." It's like freaking out.
Yeah. Oh, she responds, "Yeah."
Yeah.
Bruce says, you're still Jen right now?
And like, I'm conscious.
Yeah. Bruce says, "This is incredible. You don't have an alter ego." Oh, and Jen's like, "Nope." Bruce says, "I think I'm jealous. Is that what I'm feeling?" "You don't have to. You don't have to have another guy to wrestle with for 10 years."
Jealous. Yep.
Jen just very very coolly and calmly says, "Cool."
I love that. I love how quickly he was like back and forth about that, and like he's just like, "Jealousy I'm feeling right now." Like that was a nice moment to see, because it would be totally. I love that they explained it so quickly, because you wonder, okay, is it because she got Professor Hulk's blood, or is she just different somehow? Yeah. Like she says, like it makes you wonder.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Then next we have a moment that is probably going to get memed for a long time. Bruce says, "Bruh," in his annoyance as he mentions that she damaged millions of dollars worth of stuff. Which,
by the way,
I'm pretty sure he only mentioned that because he was annoyed at her that she is not struggling.
Well, think of all the stuff that he's destroyed in his Hulk rages early on, and she did $1 million worth or a couple million dollars worth of work, and she doesn't even feel bad because why should she? He put her in a death chamber. It's your own damn fault. And he's like, "I had years of guilt over all the buildings. God damn it." He's so mad.
He asks again about having someone else at the wheel, and she says no. The first time it was intense, I barely remember what was happening, but now it just feels like it settled in.
So cocky.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so much. Just feeling settled in. Yeah, I got
Bruce,
this.
Bruce, still annoyed and jealous, says, "I guess if we skip all this then," as he grabs the binder and breaks his pages out. But Jen says, "I think I'm done here then." Bruce says, "Not so fast." Jen says, "Okay, how do I turn back into Jen then?" And Bruce says, "Well, normally I fall out of a jet, knocked out by a robot, or Nat sung me a lullaby."
How does that work exactly?
And he's just like, I don't have a good explanation for that. Yeah. which this scene honestly kind of makes me hope that a future episode, like there's like, besides where like Jen is like almost like a savage thing for a bit, and Bruce does try to do a lullaby on her. That would be really funny.
Yeah. No, it'd be great if someone just gave it a shot. Like him doing the freaking horse whispering thing first and thinking that was going to work. Of course he should try a lullaby later on.
Yeah. Ed says, it seems the common thread is unconscious. And Bruce says, "Not necessarily. I one time was the other guy for over 2 years." Jed says, "I can't stay like this for 2 years. Bruce says, that was one time. You have so much to learn about being a Hulk. Hulk and Bruce tells her, I don't think you've thought about how dangerous it is being a Hulk. Do you know the damage you can cause? One mistake, one freak out is life or death. And Jen says, okay, I'll be careful. Bruce says, you can't be emotional. Forget Hulk rage. Just regular anger causes death and destruction for everything and everyone around you. When people start seeing you as a monster, that never goes away. And this finally gets it's Jen to and to be willing to have him teach her. Or so she says, "Fine, teach me." Cuts outside where Bruce says they're starting what is called dialectical behavior therapy, which this is actually a real form of therapy, which I looked it up while I was watching just to make sure.
A big one.
But yeah, that's which is really cool that they're using science, it's a real thing.
And it is a science, it's not spiritual.
Yes. He says, first, we're gonna try some mindfulness with a few yoga techniques. And then Jen does a joking Aang yoga monologue. And
Love that.
Bruce
Hold in your
says,
farts and go.
and Bruce says, it's more about presence. And Jen says, I thought it was about making your butt tight as hell.
Up top.
Yeah, I thought that was funny as hell,
Oh
man.
God, she got jokes. Like
It was so
the
great.
actress is capable of comedy to the nth
Oh
degree
yeah,
with how many characters she played in Orphan Black and how funny that
definitely.
show ends up on its worst days. It's still funny. And so she's got the comedic timing down. So the fact that they made her character so lovable and comedic is exactly like the comic, and it's exactly what you need from a first introduction of a brand new character like this. I'm so
Oh
glad
yeah.
she was as funny as she was. I'm so glad the show in general is a comedy.
Definitely. And Bruce has, gross, Jen. I'm your cousin. And then he says, you aren't ready for DBT. Get rest and we'll try something else tomorrow. It cuts to Jen in bed, and Bruce uses an air horn on her to wake her up, turning her into She-Hulk. She gets mad at him, and he has no overwhelming feelings of rage. And she says, no, a normal amount of rage. Was the air horn really necessary?
For
Yeah.
comedy's sakes, yes. I like
You
that a lot.
know, you do a great Mark Ruffalo
I'm really enjoying hearing him do the Hulk because it definitely, I
impression.
don't know how to sound like him normally, but I
Yeah.
like the Hulk sound.
Yeah, it's so
Yeah.
good.
Thanks, man.
Bruce tells her, don't even think it. A little bit later, or outside, Bruce tells her, don't even think of moving into a place with less than 10 foot tall ceilings. And you'll need two wardrobes, one for Jen and one for your Hulk body. And he asks, who's your best friend? And she said, responds, Nikki. And Bruce says, wrong, spandex. Exit back outside, he tells her that they're going to do boulder toss. And he, using it only a tiny bit of strength, throws one on, and then she uses all of her strength to throw it further.
That we
Or
know
and
of.
then dances dances around happy, and then and Bruce in turn throws one with his full strength, and then he go hit goes so fast that is on fire, and then Jen sarcastically claps, and he says, just trying to show you how it's done. Jen and says, I'm shown,
I'm
as she walks
shown.
away.
And he's so subtle about his like Just trying to show you how it's done. Like, it's very understated, and I like that about the comedy that Ruffalo does
It's
with the Hulk, is like he's not overacting, he's not like super big about it, and that's the fun, that's the antithesis of
Oh
what the
yeah.
Hulk character is, which is so great. You see
Yeah,
like this
and but
giant
then
hulking thing, and
also
he's just talking softly and like making a little
these little
comment.
competition things really really goes to like it makes it work so well them being cousins.
Yes.
Cousins, because that's something you do with cousins in
It
real
felt
life.
like
You'll
family.
have
Yeah.
competitions with them. You're
100%.
always going to one up the try to one up the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt very cool to get to see that plus the rage that we get later, which I
Yeah.
did not know was going to happen, and I was so delighted
So,
when it did.
this scene when Hawk throws the OC boulder and it goes so fast it gets on fire. I think this is one of the times in the episode where the Hulk side of Bruce is showing itself for a bit as that Hulk side is having a tantrum.
Well, you even see them doing like he's showing her how to do different balancing techniques and centering himself, and she's better at
Yes.
something. And then he like has this like grumble on his face. It's like, just because he's Professor Hulk, just because he's smart Hulk, doesn't mean he's not angry
Yeah.
and therefore capable of much, much more than just, you know, it was like the real Hulk was showing through. And
Yeah.
I 100% agree. That's what I liked about their fight
Yeah.
later, was you see an angrier version of
Oh,
Professor Hulk,
yeah.
which you don't get to see ever. Because he's balanced it, he's figured it out, and I'm doing air
Definitely.
quotes beside my head as I say that for the listeners.
Oh, yeah. So, then and one of the next things that he said, goes with their competition. So, the two of them Hulk jump, and as they land, Jen in a mockingly stereotypical, quote unquote, manly voice, saying, "Men, men, men, men,"
Yeah, I like that.
stomping around. It was hilarious. Oh my God.
Yeah, another thing to piss off the misogynists, a
Yep.
woman being funny. They're
Oh yeah.
gonna hate it.
Oh yeah. They're gonna hate the series.
Whatever.
Jen shows him up to up some more as Bruce as you mentioned, he says being a Hulk requires requires balance, and he gets a little bit more frustrated. And then we see him slamming the ground, saying "ground pound," which I like how he actually said "ground pound" as he was doing it.
Did he?
Yeah, he
I
did.
didn't catch. Oh my God, I did not catch
Yeah,
that at
he
all.
says at ground pound. It's hilarious.
That's awesome.
And then Jen does a little dance, and then hits the ground even harder than him, saying, "It's easy." Bruce knocks her off the cliff. She flips
Yeah,
him
you
off
punk.
as she falls. Yeah, which I think when he yells, "Little punk," I think that was another t point where the Hulk side is coming out again for a bit. As it sounded a little bit different than his normal voice. So I think that was definitely the real Hulk coming out, and he's angry that this person is trying to one up him.
Yeah, I would agree that the there's some snarls and some yells that start to bellow and echo
Oh
and reach further than his normal voice
yeah.
that you start to wonder, okay, how much more control has he got? Clearly some. He's not a
Yeah.
raging chaos monster, but he's still not quite yeah, there's still something
Oh yeah.
laying underneath.
So
Which I loved, of course.
Jen comes back up saying, "Dick, move." And she asks then, "When am I gonna use any of this as a lawyer?" And Bruce warns her that she's gonna have a target on her back, and Jen says, "Yet another way my life is ruined. Thanks, Bruce." So then Bruce tells her how there are a few upsides to being a Hulk. Bruce tells her that they can have lots of alcohol and not get drunk. All buzz,
All
no
buzz,
barf.
yes.
And
All buzz, no barf. I like that a
oh yeah.
lot.
And then later that night, they're at the bar, the R and Jen tells him how it's impressive he built this bar himself. Bruce says it was him and Tony, though mostly Tony mostly got drunk complaining about Steve. And Bruce starts getting a little sad thinking about it, which this is another moment where the show is really allowing him to mourn Tony's death.
Yeah. I like the one line he says about good times and the hard times.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Or good times during hard times. I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's got to be good times and the hard times. It sounds better.
Yeah. So.
Good time. It was a good time during a hard time. That's what she says, and he says, and then she says it back. She's like, mm-hmm. "To the good times during the hard times." Yeah,
yep. That was sweet. And then they burp really loudly.
Of course.
And then it cuts to morning, and apparently Bruce forgot to mention that you still get a Hulk size hangover from drinking. Hulk gives her some kind of drink that he just mixed up, and he heads outside. Bruce gets them ready for trying to do DBT again when Jen asks when can she leave. Bruce says let's just focus on each day as it comes. Jen says that she has literally a life to go back to. Bruce says, I know I've been pushing it pretty hard, but being a superhero is a trial by fire. Jen says, I'm not gonna be a superhero. And Bruce asks, well, what else are you gonna do as a Hulk? And she tells him the career she's been working years towards, paying off the mountains of student debt she has.
Yeah.
And
how awesome is it too that they bring up the theme of like someone else knowing what's better for her, and like the idea of like, and that's more points in the category of, you know, a show about what it's like different from her. She's driven in her career. She always, you know, she spent a lot of time studying for it. She's not just going to abandon that because now there's this and he thinks it's best for her and blah blah blah. It's like, sure, that might come as well, but it has to be her choice. And it's impressive to me that they've got so, as my friend, my favorite character from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia says, there's a lot of jelly in these donuts. And he's right. There's just a lot of substance in these themes. And I love it.
Oh, it's awesome. So Bruce tells her it's not one or the other. He's trying to show her how they can live between what they want and what is. But they can't pretend that they aren't two of the few people on Earth that can actually protect her. And he says that's why we have to be able to tolerate the stress and regulate emotions, especially anger. And in response, Jen says probably one of the most important things in this entire show. She says, here's the thing, Bruce. I'm great at controlling my anger. I do it all the time. When I'm being catcalled on the street, when incompetent men explain my own area of expertise to me, I do it pretty much every day, because I know if I don't, I'll get called emotional, difficult, and I might just literally get murdered. So I'm an expert at controlling my anger, because I do it infinitely more than you. So this all of this just feels like projecting a lot of shit onto me. And she starts turning into She-Hulk, which Bruce uses this as to his point of where he says, see? But then Jen turns back into normal saying, no, I'm doing this.
Yep.
This was such an important thing for them to bring up in the series.
Yes,
and I think it really does go to show how, though so many people thought this was just going to be this is the funny She-Hulk show. We don't need to care about this show. No, there's some very important things that are going to happen in the show. Not particularly, maybe not mainly. Things about the MCU, but dealing with some very real life issues, and they're going to be dealing with them heavily,
Which
especially with things like this.
shocks me is it's a scene that's actually not even that over the top. It's not pandering. It
No.
doesn't feel like that all woman's team like run moment in Endgame where that was clearly pandering. It just felt way too much. Again, a moment that's understated. She's explaining to Bruce why she would be better at her anger already, and it's not far-fetched. It's not over the top. The other cool thing about this scene, I didn't love everything about it. She's not all-encompassing. Like, first of all, the only nitpick I have is when she turns into She-Hulk real quick and then turns back. Her hair's up in like a little top knot, and then she turns into She-Hulk and it's all down, and then it's back up again. And I was like, okay, that's tiny, tiny nitpick. Not really a big deal. I'm not bothered by that. But the realism of the moment that when she's saying all this and she's getting passionate, she's getting pissed off. She is correct in why she might be better at controlling her anger. However, she's still coming off a teensy bit arrogant. And I like that both of them have a reason to be mad at the other. And he yells this later saying, like, why wouldn't you trust the person who might have an idea what this is like or whatever? And she's just like, she's not listening to him. And it's understandable why she wouldn't, but at the same time, he's the only person who knows what it's like, other than Blonsky, to turn into a Hulk all the time.
Oh
So
yeah,
yeah, there's
definitely.
definitely benefits to both listening to both sides.
I can definitely see both sides too. Yeah, there is a very intricate situation, it's not a simple one at all. Bruce says this is completely new territory, and then Jen says, "Love you, Bruce, but I'm going home." And then Jen walks to Bruce's Hulk-sized Jeep, saying that she's got to borrow it.
Yeah, she's gonna sit on
But
her own backpack, her like big hiking bag, just to sit high enough on the seat. I thought that was pretty great.
that he can pick the Jeep up at her place. Ace and Bruce tells her to think about this. That who's going to protect the world if not people like us? Jen asks, as if he's quoting a comic right now.
And he
And
smiled.
which, yeah, he mutters, yeah. Which I love that so much. Oh my God. And Jen tells him, she's sorry. The idea of being a superhero is not appealing to her, or in that she's not gonna be him. Which I this is another big point. As a lot of misogynists complain a lot to how they think that She-Hulk is basically just Hulk as a female. What they don't understand is no one is no we aren't wanting her to just be Hulk. We want her to be her own character, and she is her own character, and she doesn't want to be Hulk either. She wants to be her own character. And I don't understand why it's so hard for them to understand that she's a different character.
Yeah, no, it's fair, and it's the same questions that the get raised when I see some of the bullshit responses on Twitter. People just not getting that.
It looked like you had a lot of fun arguing
Oh
with them
God.
earlier today.
And it was funny because people were like, "Oh, you gonna cry?" And I'm like, "I am bored. I am waiting for my bus, and I am responding to an idiot on Twitter. Yeah, sure, I'm crying, sure." Was just like I have no patience for this shit, and it was just funny to me, like the base when they had no leg to stand on, most people resort to, well, you could cry about it.
And
Okay,
the
sure.
thing is, if anything, in the responses they're giving are the ones that sound more like they're crying about it than
Oh,
us.
for sure. And that's where I know that I don't need to argue with them anymore. When they get backed into a corner and just say stuff like that, I'm like, okay, clearly this is as
You're
far
the
as we
one
can
who's
go.
crying. She tells him that she doesn't need her, she doesn't need her life to be taken away like his was. And he tries saying that his wasn't. But she responds, "Oh, so you didn't end up alone, hiding on a beach, no friends, no relationships, never seeing your family, and definitely not dealing with the decades worth of trauma. Why would you want that for me, Bruce?
Way to bring up a lot of great points real quickly.
Oh, yeah. Though, like, yes, she kind of went too far here, I think, with bringing up his trauma, but I do like that she brought up his trauma, and I think that that is a very real thing. I don't like that she did that, but it makes for it to be a very real story. When people get angry, they will mention things they shouldn't. And
he's right to call her out later when he says, "You think you could just say all that mean stuff and then drive off?" Which and she's like,
"This is where I was mentioning earlier how I think this series is going to really give if Hulk fans what they've been wanting from the character in the MCU that the MCU has not given them, as this is the first time the MCU has actually referenced the fact that he does have trauma."
Yeah. Yeah, we're spending a lot more time when you think about it. In 30 minutes of the first episode of She-Hulk, we've gotten more time with Bruce and with Hulk than we've gotten in probably, I don't know, since Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah,
when
probably.
He was all Hulk and not really telling us a whole lot. Like, we got a confused Bruce in that movie, but we didn't get a whole lot of, like, depth, right? Yeah. It was more he was played for laughs. Yeah.
I'm hoping that the fact that they're mentioning his trauma in this means that at some point down the line, we could actually learn about his father in the MCU. I think that would be really nice to be able to have in the MCU a version of the character. Let's go on. A little further, Bruce says that that's what it takes to protect the world. Jen says it's not wrong to help people in the way that I've always wanted to. Bruce says that he spent a lifetime running away from this part of himself. Denying half of yourself is no way to live. And Jen simply says, goodbye. Bruce gets in front of the Jeep saying, "I'm asking you to reconsider." And Jen says, "I've reconsidered. I'm still leaving." Bruce says, "I'm serious." And she says, "You're not the only one who's serious, Aries." And Bruce says, as you mentioned, "Do you think you can just leave after saying a bunch of mean things?" Which this is another instance, I think, where it is the Hulk, the real Hulk peeking out, because that very much sounded like a child's statement. And we know that the real Hulk, he is very much is a child. So I think that there's a very good chance that when he said that, that was really the Hulk peeking out, with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jen says, "Yeah, I'm gonna leave after saying all that." She puts her foot down the pedal, sending Bruce flying into some rocks. She ends up getting out of the car, scared for him, but he gets up. He says, "As dick move," and she says, "I learned it from you." But then, and Bruce compliments her. Though we didn't really see any of this, it seems that was part of the dialectical behavioral therapy, because she shouts then, "And enough of this dialectical behavioral bullshit." She punches him, and then they start fighting. She throws him, and during this scene, we get some damn Hulk cake moments from both of them.
You're telling me that there were multiple cakes served at this party?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good catch. Not gonna say I didn't see that, but I definitely wasn't as I wasn't hunting for it like you might have been.
Hey, I gotta find one every episode.
It must be a birthday every day. Fair enough.
Which also also they both have some shots of feet that fetishists will probably really enjoy.
My God, you're making the rounds, aren't you? Yes, there are quite a few feet. Let's just hope that the feet never meet the cake.
Oh God.
We don't need that. Or creamed corn or baked beans.
Oh God. So Bruce says, I really didn't want to do this. And he proceeds to thunderclap her,
Yes.
causing her to go flying. He then says, okay, I wanted to do it a little. So this is one of the scenes that people have complained about because so the reason they complain about it is because people compared it to the thunderclap that Hawk did in the 2008 film, which is
Okay.
so stupid to me. They're acting like, oh, we went from this thunderclap that is epic and he's so strong in it to this one. I'm like, oh, that's
They look
a
about the same.
that no the
Didn't bother me at all.
so yeah no and I'll stand very much by is that it causes it's but you have to have a stronger thunderclap to throw a Hulk, not Hulk, which see Hulk is a Hulk, a
Yes.
Hulk, than for you to blow out fire that's on a helicopter.
Right, and also
Helicopter or fire and a Hulk, I feel like one is going to have a lot more strength needed for it.
You put out you put out a fire, a flaming helicopter with a thunderclap. You're gonna do enough of a clap, as I am assuming Smart Hulk would know his control of his clap, to knock her over, but not hurt her. He's pulling his punches with her. The whole time he's fighting her, he's pulling his punches. He's letting her get into these pot shots. She's pulling her punches too. She doesn't know how her full extent of her strength. When he throws that boulder into space, that's full strength Hulk, because he's trying to show her up and there's no way it could come down and hurt anybody because now it's hurtling into space. But with the thunderclap, he's got to be careful.
There's also people on Twitter who use a clip from the 2008 film of Blonsky getting hit up against a tree, and they're trying to make this like this complaint of like, oh, we're never gonna see a Hulk that's this strong that he's going to knock someone against a tree like this. He looks as terrible as Blonsky did. I'm like, okay, we're since the Incredible Hulk film, every character that Hulk has fought has been stronger than Blonsky, so it's kind of obvious that he's not going to do as much damage to them as he did to Blonsky.
Yeah. And this is also something
And
that they shouldn't be so attached to, because that movie is not one of the best MCU movies and could use some retooling. Let's not look back on it like it's a Bible of sorts to fall from and to cater to.
Also, if they act as if that is the better version of Hulk because they think he's stronger. I would argue even Mark Ruffalo in the Avengers, the first Avengers film, is stronger than he was in that. As he's as I would argue that it was more or strength put into slamming Loki into the ground multiple times than basically anything he did with Blonsky in the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, we're seeing a very, very different power level and skill set than the first time we saw him, or the first time we saw Edward Norton's version of him.
So okay, and so that and let's see
We're at the clap,
that
the thunderclap.
yeah so and so after the after that they throw some insults at each other. Bruce calls Jen lunkhead, and she calls him dummy, which dummy. I thought those were really funny.
Her face when she does it. I'm very glad that they got Tatiana Maslany, because
it fits so well for cousins to be calling themselves names like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they got nicknames for each other. He calls her Fuzzball later. I'm like, this is beautiful. Yes. This relationship.
Which Fuzzball is actually a bit of trivia, as behind the scenes the whole time I'm filming the show, Mark Ruffalo called Tatiana Maslany Fuzzball. And they and because of him doing that, they wrote it into one of the scenes.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought that I think that's kind
of
cool.
That is that's a lot of impact, these especially a character that, or an actor that's been around since Avengers 1, is able to, you know, control he's able to have over the series. I'm very glad.
So Jen tries the thunderclap. It doesn't work the first time, but it does the second time, and she starts repeatedly doing it. Which, this is one place where I think she did go way too far here, as that actually did cause him real pain.
Yeah.
That caused him a lot of pain.
And I don't think he was expecting her clap to be different from his in that way.
Either. Oh, yeah. No, definitely not. So then... He then hits her, making her go flying while she was distracted by dancing over to her car, which she then in turn throws some fruits at Hulk,
You mean when she slinged back a palm tree and let it go and three like palm plant, or what are they called? Not coconuts.
Maybe papayas, whatever. Maybe? I'm not sure what fruit was.
But they hit him in the face so quickly and comedically. I really enjoyed that. The physicality of this. It's like, how could they be more creative with a Hulk fight?
Yeah, that was and really nice. also they were doing things like that, I think, really helped for it to feel like it's a real fight. Since this is a CGI landscape, two CGI characters, I would say it actually really helps having those creative points of having like objects hitting them to really ground it in reality.
Yep. Same.
I think at this point in the battle, Bruce has got angry enough that it really is kind of most out of all of the scenes in the episode, I think that at this one particularly, Hulk is in control here.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen breaks his glasses. They both roar at each other.
Yeah.
And then they go barreling into Bruce's bar, destroying it. And now, at this point, I think it's now back to Bruce, where he shouts, "My bar," because that more felt like it was a saying Bruce would be saying and not Hulk.
Yep. Yeah, this is when he finally like goes, "Okay, he's not even he's just mad at her about that more than anything else she said earlier." He's like, "You're fixing it."
Yeah. She just immediately just like, "Sorry." I absolutely love that that line of him just be like, "You're fixing it." That really felt like a family thing.
Yes.
Yeah, how you'd get mad at someone who's your family. So as they fix the bar, Bruce says, "If you want to go back to a life of a lawyer, I respect that." Jen says, "Thanks," but then she turns to us, the audience, and saying, "He doesn't mean that."
First time since the opening part, too. The opening scene is the only time she breaks the fourth wall. Those two moments, really, and then later at the end. But that's it.
This is the first. Really, is the first time she's ever broken the fourth wall.
It's a flashback.
Interestingly, it not only surprises Bruce, but you also notice it surprises Jen that she's able to do this, which I
Oh, you're.
thought was cool.
Do you think it's something that she learned how to do once she
Well,
became She-Hulk?
I don't think she learned how to do it. It just, like it's something that just happened, and then right afterwards she was like, "Wait, what did I just do?" Or something
Yeah.
like that. She's like, because she's very confused by what just happened. This is not what you would expect out of it, being a Hulk. Yeah.
True.
We see Jen carves her name into the counter as she and Bruce eat some Cheetos with their chopsticks. And then as Bruce walks Jen to who the Jeep for the leave, he says that you can call me anytime since I'm the only one who knows what you were going through. She thanks him, hugs him, and says, "Sorry for saying a bunch of harsh but very true things."
Wow, way to double down on the things you said while apologizing. That is some lawyer stuff or whatever. I love that so much.
Yeah.
Doubling down on the mean things that you said while apologizing. That
Oh
was one
yeah.
of my favorite moments.
Jen says, "As yeah, I'm much better at a lawyer than I am a Hulk." And
Now who's
Bruce
smug?
says, "Yeah."
Sorry.
No,
I'm
you're
on a
all
roll.
right.
I can't help but fill in the blanks when I remember them.
Bruce then says, "As if you change your mind, the door never closes." Jen says, "Thanks. See you at the next family dinner." And Bruce says, "As see you, fuzzball." And Jen drives off. We then start hearing Jen and the Jen from the beginning of the episode, who's much further in time, a few months later, or narrating anything. So that's how it happened, and there's been no crazy Hulk stuff since. So now my family, Nikki, and you know, that I'm a Hulk. And she says, basically, I was right. Bruce was wrong. I don't ever have to be a Hulk. I'm gonna go win this case. She opens the door and then whispers, "Lawyer show."
Lawyer show. I love
Yeah,
that too. I was
it's
like,
so good.
I'm so glad we get her
Which
as our guide through this world.
that was definitely foreshadowing for the end of the episode. Her saying,
Yeah.
"Oh, I'm not gonna have to do any more Hulk stuff."
Well, also, like, she's like, I love that she, the way she set up in the beginning before the flashback started, she's like, I know you're probably not going to be able to pay attention to this lawyer stuff until you get this out of the way, so
There
let's
we
just
go.
do it now.
So,
And I was like, that's brilliant because it's true. Everybody's waiting
I'm
to
not
hear how the
sure.
hell she became
Yeah.
She-Hulk. Yeah.
I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I heard some rumors online that apparently all these flashback things, they were originally going to be part of the eighth episode of the show, but they changed
Wow.
it to the first episode because they did some test screenings apparently, and people did not understand what was going on. So they end
Fair.
up, so they decided to make a joke about it within the show that you're not gonna understand what's going on as they do put that into the as the first episode,
I'm glad
which
they
I
were
think is
able to
very
rearrange it.
clever.
That was
If
a
that
very
is
strong one.
the case, then that is very clever. Oh
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh yeah, that's editing at its finest. I hope that the eighth episode is not weakened because of it, but at
Oh
the
yeah.
same time, it's like, how do you know how I can't think of a stronger way to start off this series is to
Oh
have,
yeah,
you know,
no.
Bruce Banner at the beginning of it get a lot of nice Bruce Banner time, remind us what Hulks are like, and then usher
Definitely.
us off and kind of pass the torch. I don't expect to see Bruce much more. If I
Oh
see
yeah.
him again, I'll be surprised. I'll be very awesome, like very excited, but I'd be
Yeah.
okay if the rest was pretty much
I
She-Hulk.
know of at least one more scene that involves Bruce Earth in the future or from trailers,
Yeah.
but it is one where I think it's only gonna be really a cameo appearance because it's a scene of Bruce on a phone, so a phone of him talking to Bruce talking to Jen over the phone. So, I'm guessing that's like in one of the upcoming episodes. It's gonna be just a cameo appearance from him.
Yeah. Maybe it could have got cut for time, is my wonder, after they did a lot of editing.
In the courtroom, the judge says, "Miss Walters, your closing statement." Jen gets up, walks to the jury. An explosion happens, and Titania walks in. Jen then hides behind a desk. Nikki runs over to her, saying, "Do your thing." And Jen hesitantly gets up, takes off her shoes. She turns into She-Hulk with an epic transformation, and which. As all this has happened, this isn't something I actually noticed while watching the episode, but someone pointed out on Twitter. But Nikki starts recording all of this on her phone.
Does she?
She's, yeah, apparently
Jeez, I didn't
she's,
notice that either.
yeah, she, there's apparently a shot of her holding the shoes with one hand, and then her phone pointed out at the fight for
Nice.
the with her other hand. Yeah.
There you go. She's gonna
And
sell some hats
probably.
for sure.
So the Titania asks, "Who the hell are you?" And Jen says, "Jennifer Walters, attorney at law." She
Yeah.
beats up Titania really easily. The security grab Titania, and then Nikki puts Jen's shoes back onto the floor. And She-Hulk turns back into Jen and steps into them. Jen says that she's ready to give her closing argument now. And the and I love the song they chose to end this off with the stylized credits of it's where
Yep.
they had the song. This song I had never heard this before, but it's called "Who's That Girl?" and it's
Yeah.
by Eve. It
I
was
grew
so
up,
good.
that was my generation. I grew up with that one for sure.
Was a
And
great choice.
I also loved the courtroom sketch artist style
Oh yeah.
that the closing credits
That was those were
shape of. That was
fantastic.
fantastic. That was really smart.
There's one of those drawings that I really interested in and so And this is a sign for particularly if Hulk does come back in back later in the season, but it includes one drawing of her and Bruce in a store as she holds up some purple pants for him, which gives me hope that this series might finally give us Ruffalo Hulk being in purple shorts.
Oh, we've been waiting for so long.
That would be so, and it would fit this series. It would very much fit
It's
this
true.
series. So I'm very hopeful for that. I think there's a chance of that. So then, after the stylized credits, we get and in my opinion, the best post-credits scene the MCU has ever had. Jen is telling Bruce about how it's so sad that Steve Rogers never got to experience sex, and she says, "Did you see that ass? That ass didn't deserve to die a virgin." And Bruce finally tells her, "Steve Rogers is not a virgin. He lost his virginity to a girl in 1943." Jen puts her drink down excitedly, saying, "Yes, I knew it." And Bruce says, "You're not drunk." And then Jen ends off the episode by shouting, "Aim for the heavens to hear, Captain America, fuck!"
And cut. Which had me pissing myself laughing. That was
It
such a
was
great
so
delight
good.
because I like had to like I was snorting and laughing at like 4 in the morning hearing that, and like that was the one, like I was smiling through most of these but trying to be quiet because I'm right next to my fiance sleeping, and
No,
we get to that last part and I laughed out loud and I was like, oh my God, like that was hard
Same.
to stifle.
Same.
That's good.
I was like some of the times where I laughed out loud last night as I was watching at 3 in the morning. I was like, I was, I was like, I want to be careful. I don't want to wake Michael up since Michael's room is just 2 doors away from me. So,
Oh, yeah.
and he's the only one else in the house right now. So, but yeah, that. It was absolutely hilarious. But though, two things about this scene. One, I'm wondering why Bruce did not correct the fact that Jen said that she thinks Cap is dead. Is this
Right.
canonically saying that Captain America is dead, or is he trying to keep it a secret that he's still alive?
I think that if he is trying to keep the secret, he's really like okay with changing the subject or moving on as quickly as possible because he's a bad liar. I would imagine Bruce is a bad liar. But he just, even if he knows that Cap's alive, I think he's like, it's better off to just let him rest, you know, like let's move on. So I don't think it was like
And
maliciously hiding anything, but it was like, I'll
not
just, there's no
have
point.
this not have this this horny fangirl of Captain America tried to come find him, who is also a Hulk.
Yeah, exactly. If they meet one day, which I doubt it,
Oh,
but yeah,
yeah.
that's pretty great.
Well, if they meet one day, Jeffers would be like, "Wait, why are you old?
You look different.
You're not the Cap I expected. What the hell? What's going on here?"
She's like, "Explain yourself." He's like, "No, I don't think I will."
Oh man. So okay, my full thoughts on this episode is honestly 10 out of 10. I loved it of it and Tatiana Maslany, she's the perfect She-Hulk. Her and Mark Ruffalo have perfect cousin energy. This I think is the best Hulk related thing I've ever seen,
Yes.
honestly. And so really, this was just fucking fantastic. I can't say enough good about it.
Yeah.
Also, this teases some great Hulk stuff coming on down the way. Hopefully, maybe him dealing with his trauma, Ama, which I could easily see them now as they're more willing to go into that mental health aspects of these characters. There's whether it be in She-Hulk or being a Hulk solo the O thing, like actually having him deal with some of his trauma, and not repressing it like he has done all these years.
Absolutely.
And then I bet there's something to do with that Sakaar ship that,
Yes.
which I have seen some leaks, but
Oh,
I won't say what they are because I don't want to spoil it for anyone if they're true.
okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
So,
try not to search out those leaks now.
yeah.
This
And I
is
am I'm
awesome.
kind of sad though, that though there could be in some of the coming episodes, but it was kind of sad to me that there was no She-Hulk theme song at the beginning of the episode, because I was really hoping with this show, particularly with it being this legal comedy, they try to make a fun like theme a fun custom theme song for the show, like you'd see with a lot of those older or legal shows like Ally McBeal,
Yeah.
Suits, Boston Legal, whatever,
The Good
ever,
Wife.
like they yeah they a lot of them, they'll have a custom theme song, and a lot of times there'll be one that has like actual singing in it, and I think that would be really cool to have for the She-Hulk series. Hey, so it kind of saddened me that they didn't have that in it.
I mean, I think they're going to do two things for sure. I almost want to predict two things. A, that they have a lot more fun with the breaking of the fourth wall. I think they're going to do that in every episode coming forward. You're going to see a lot more of her humor, which they did so sparingly in this first episode. I'm glad, but I was also like very glad to see a lot of her humor come through. The other thing I think that's going to happen going forward is there's going to be an episode primarily featured on her new nickname. And when they do that, I think that's when they're going to drop the big title, whether it be episode two at the end or episode three at the beginning. But it's gonna be like a moment
What
that.
could be really cool with her breaking the fourth wall is have that one of the episodes, she's like I gotta have a theme song for myself. I gotta make myself a theme song. And like they have her going, having She-Hulk in a recording booth singing her own theme song, and then all of the episodes after that have the theme song on it. That would be great.
That would be great. That would be great. I don't know that they're going to go with that. I don't know if that matches the tone that I've seen so far, John, but I'm excited for whatever comedy they throw in next, because it feels like this show has a consistent comedy that I was looking for in things like Thor: Love and Thunder or Multiverse of Madness, a thing that knows what it's supposed to be. This is what I mean when I say that.
So I have a really dumb idea for a theme song that I think would be hilarious if they did it, but I don't think they would do it because it's a little
Are
mature.
you about to serenade me right now, or what's about to
Yes,
happen?
I'm going to sing this for you.
Oh my God.
So what this would be a Jen singing it, not
Okay.
me,
Okay.
but so the idea would be a Jen singing a parody of a classic, the classic Captain America theme, but with the words, where it's when Captain America fucks, all those around him get extremely horny, and then as it ends, you would hear Jen getting hit with a tree, and then the Hulk just yelling, "No horny."
I think, you know what? I that's the number three prediction now. I think that's going to happen, John. That song, exactly as you said it, which they have not swore on this show yet, but nor on any anything with Deadpool. But no, I'm excited for
I obviously that's definitely not gonna happen, but I just thought of that idea earlier. I was like, this would be hilarious to say on the podcast.
And it was. I appreciated
We have one bit of trivia from the episode, which that is that when Jennifer Walters walks into the bar at the beginning, and after her first Hulk out, there's a QR code on a poster or on the wall, which leads to a free digital She-Hulk comic if you use that QR code.
Oh my God.
And the then you got it right. The answer to the trivia question from earlier was the Thing. Is there any last things you would like to say, A, before I end this off?
I am just so enamored with the way she plays this character, the way that's written. I do not think that the CGI surprised me, to be honest. I fell right into it. I think that a number one thing, even if the trailer had not been, if things had not been changed, from the first trailer to now, the Hulk that we see now, that trailer is too short a thing to suspend your disbelief and get into. And a brand new character being introduced, and you're not, they couldn't, they didn't, and they wouldn't have uggified her, if you know what I mean, by like giving her the big Hulk brow, the Neanderthalic like shape to her face.
Well,
Like
yeah.
they
It would
prettied up
have
Mark
made
Ruffalo.
sense, and if they had done that.
Yeah, it wouldn't have made sense. It wouldn't have looked like the comic. It wouldn't have looked like Tatiana, which is not how she, it's the way She-Hulk is portrayed in the comics. She's just a buff version of Jennifer Walters, and that's the whole thing. So just green and large and in charge. Whereas the smart Hulk we have compared to the Hulk we saw in previous, you know, chaotic, raging iterations, looks different himself. He doesn't look like the, you know, big browed everything. So it makes more sense that she would look more humanoid, which blends a lot of the Uncanny Valley territory where you get, you know, this doesn't look quite real because it's going for so real. And that's the problem. It's right on the cusp of realistic looking, but it's off, and your brain is telling you not to trust it. And that's basically what it's
Definitely.
like when you watch like the Beowulf
And I
movie
think
or
it
like
helps.
the Final Fantasy
I think
films.
it, as you said, it helps us because of the length of this. It's not a trailer length, so you have time to get into it.
You
And
adjust, but you can tell the work that they put into that first moment when she like visibly hulks out in, I think it's the basement, and she rips the door off the little chamber and like throws it, and then she's just standing there with him. And there might be I can't remember if there was perfect lip syncing, but the image, the visual looked great. And
Yeah.
I for the rest of the episode, I was hooked. I had
Yeah,
no problem with how it looked.
the biggest is criticism I saw from the critics who saw the first four episodes was they said while the CGI looks great, there is a few moments where the animation doesn't work as well. So
Okay.
I'm guessing that's what you're meaning, but you said the some of the things she said didn't fit right. I
And
think that's what you're trying.
maybe they were so far along in the animation or the CG at the time that when they had to improve it based on Twitter comments and everybody's all the fan reactions, when they had to go back and retool it, maybe they had to sacrifice some lip syncing or maybe they had to sacrifice some movement
Probably.
to make it look better. So it's still way more realistic than any two green hulking cousins fighting near, in Mexico have ever looked in broad daylight by of all things too.
Oh,
You know,
yeah.
back in the day when CG would be hidden by dark nighttime scenes, and now you got two hulks beating the crap out of each other in broad daylight, and you're like, what? I don't want the world. This is much more attainable now, and I'm impressed as fuck. I
Oh,
cannot
yeah.
complain. Honestly.
Definitely. All right. And I think the last thing I want to say before I end this off is that my Hulk mommy is here and she's here to stay.
You have no idea. You have no idea the irksome response I have from that. There's a gag reflex that I am currently trying to hide and stifle. But anyway. I kid.
Thank you for listening. If you like this game analysis, please give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or a 5-star rating on Spotify. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the film, so please let me know. And if you'd like to listen to more from me, please subscribe. Many more Gamma analysis from me coming, so keep on the lookout. This again is your host, Mastery John, signing off.